This is the water issues meeting Wednesday, September 9th. Do you want to do the pledge? Yes.
Sure. Everyone, please rise.
Well, maybe.
Repeat after me our pledge. Ready to begin. I
Pledge allegiance to the
to the flag
flag
of
of
the
the United
United States
States of
of America
America and
and
to
to
the
the
republic
republic
for
for
which
which
it
it stands,
stands, one
one
nation
nation
under
under God,
God, indivisible, with liberty and
and
justice for all. Okay. Director Yeo?
Here.
Director Tran?
I'm here.
Director Nguyen? Director Amezcua? Director Jung? Director Meeks?
Here.
Director
Director.
Sheldon? Director Bilodeau? You do have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you. Do we have any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
All right. Now is the time for visitor participation. Anybody like to speak? Anybody here? Okay, we'll move on to the consent calendar. Do we have a motion for the consent calendar?
I'll make the motion.
And I'll second it. Madam Chair, I would like to pull item number two for discussion.
Two. Okay.
And if that's okay with the motion maker, we'll move the consent calendar minus item two.
Yep, that works for me.
Okay.
Okay, roll call. Director Green.
Yes.
Director Wiegand.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Tran.
Yes.
Director Meeks.
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0, with number two pulled for discussion.
Item two, Director
Yes, thank
Yeo.
you, Madam Chair. Chris, I noticed that for this project, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, even the lowest bidder is compared to the previous wells that we have, it's kind of on the high side. I think remember seeing wells in the neighborhood of $3-4 million, and I understand that each location is kind of unique. So what's so unique about this one that it's kind of expensive?
Yeah, thank you, Director Yeo. And unfortunately, gone are the days of $3 to $4 million for a well. But this one is very unique in the sense that it's actually more pipeline work that's going to connect to another well facility, Kim 2. So this
Okay.
is specifically pipeline work to get it to another location.
Yeah, so we're not treating it at the at well 10. We're pumping it the raw water to Kim 2, right? For
That's correct.
consolidated. Okay, got it. And has Big Ben? I've seen the name before. They've bid on contracts before, right? But I don't recall we ever awarded any contracts to them. Is everything okay? Mentioned that there are some irregularities, but seems like they have been resolved.
The irregularities were resolved, and they did commit that they would do everything in the contract per the documents. So we're comfortable with awarding to them.
We have good plans and specifications, right?
That is correct.
Unambiguous.
Right. Yeah. No, you're correct.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I see Director Jung has
Yes.
missed the mayor.
Director Young, Jung.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. No, I just wanted to thank the board, thank the staff for the continuing presence of OCWD in the city of Fullerton on behalf of the residents and our city council. Certainly want to thank everybody for their diligent work. Thank you.
Do we have a motion?
Mr. Mayor, would you like to move the item?
I don't know that I'm on the board, am I? I mean, on
You
this committee board, anyway. Am I?
would be the next alternate if he wants to make the motion.
Oh, happy to make it.
Is there somebody missing?
Director Nguyen. So
Okay.
then it would be Jung. And
Okay. Motion by Director Jung. Do we have a
I'll
second?
second the motion.
All right. We have a second.
Roll call, Director Green.
Yes.
Director Wigand.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Tran.
Yes.
Director Jung.
Aye.
That motion carries 5-0.
Moving on to the basin storage update for water year 2025-26.
Yeah, Madam Chair, we had another good year with the groundwater basin regarding increasing water storage levels in the basin. And Tim Sovich is going to give the presentation.
Okay, thank you. So today I have an update on the storage conditions in the basin for water year 25-26. It's good news. We had an above average rainfall year, and I'm just going to dive into the highlights for the year. So this is the year ending June 30th of 2026. We had about 16 inches of rain average for this area, is a little over 13 inches, so about 3 inches more than average. About 20% more than the average. We recharged 22,000, almost 23,000 acre feet more than what we originally budgeted, assuming average hydrology from all the Santa Ana River flows. So that was good news. And in addition to the amount of rainfall for capturing the Santa Ana River water behind Prado, the rainfall was favorably distributed. So, we'd have a storm, then maybe 2 weeks later, we'd have another storm. They were spread out instead of one right after another. And the intensity of the rainfall events were not such that we would lose a terrible amount to the ocean. We would have an inch or two of rain, and then a couple of weeks later, another inch or so. And we were able to capture the majority of that water. I believe we only lost like 2,000, maybe 3,000 acre feet to the ocean for the whole year. And so another thing that helped with capturing all the storm flow was something called forecast informed reservoir operations at Prado Dam in cooperation with the Army Corps of Engineers. The acronym for that is FIRO. You've probably been hearing about that. And not only that, but our storage, allowable storage level behind Prado Dam, they call it the conservation level, is high at 508 feet elevation. And that's a temporary variance, I believe we call that with the Army Corps. And now let's talk about incidental recharge. So, incidental, once again, talked about it before in the past, but just as a reminder, it's a combination of all the things in the basin that we cannot measure. It's all the mountain front recharge, the water from rainfall that soaks into the mountains and then enters subsurface into the basin. It could be aerial recharge on the land surface that percolates. Also included in this term is anything that's not measured. So any inflow from the ocean, seawater intrusion, it could be the water we lose to LA County through the aquifer system across the county line, that's all lumped into this incidental recharge term. So, not all of the incidental recharge is necessarily correlated with rainfall. The aerial recharge and the mountain front recharge, those correlate with rainfall, but that doesn't make up the whole term. So, anyways, that whole incidental recharge term, it loosely follows rainfall, but it's not a good correlation. But since 2018, about the last 8 years, we've been noticing the incidental recharge is lower than what would be expected for the amount of rain we have each year. But the good news is, since 2018, the stormwater capture that's been recharged from the Santa Ana River has been greater than what we expect for the amount of rainfall. So we think these two things offset each other. And the primary reason we're thinking is that Ben Smith and his group up at the Forbay, the recharge operations group. They're doing such a good job now of capturing all the local inflows besides what's coming out of Prado that in the older years that would have been classified as incidental recharge because it wasn't captured and measured. So it would just get lumped into the incidental term. So that's why the stormwater is higher and the incidental is lower than in past years. As far as GWRS recharge, it was a little bit less than what we had budgeted. Every year it seems to be a little less than budget. There's always different maintenance and repairs going on. It was about the same as the prior year, but about 15,000, almost 16,000 less than what we had budgeted for. And so a couple of the reasons here, OC San was doing maintenance and repairs. And we had some days where the influent from OC San was less. And then also on our side of the fence, we were doing refurbishment on a couple of the product water pumps. So we had some days where GWRS production was less because of that. And then finally, we have been seeing reduced injection rates at the barrier and also some reduced percolation rates in the wintertime in the forebay due to high water levels. So that limits how much GWRS water we could get in the ground. Normally, when the barrier here at the Talbert Barrier has reduced injection rates, we can send the additional water up to the forebay, which we do, but even the forebay the last 2 years has had some restrictions on how much water we can squeeze through the pipeline to get to the forebay, and then some mounding going on with the water levels from recharging all that water in a high water level condition. Okay, I always show this cross-section, so I apologize if you've seen it numerous times, but for those of you that have not seen it, this is just used to illustrate the three aquifer systems through the basin. This cross-section goes from the forebay down through the coastal area where our recharge basins are up in Anaheim. You see these conceptually on the cross-section here. We percolate water from ground surface. It goes into the shallow aquifer, and then that water can get down into the principal aquifer where all the pumping comes from. So the water levels are lower in the principal. The water is drawn down into there. And then finally, in the deep aquifer, some of the water does get down into the deep aquifer. Although the deep aquifer, especially as you get down into the coastal area, is still very old water. We have the amber-colored water, which is due to all the organic material in the aquifer. The water has sat there for a few thousand years and picks up the color out of the organic material like a tea bag. And so we calculate the storage change for each of these three aquifer layers, which means we have to measure the water levels in these depth-specific three aquifer layers and then contour the water level data and then calculate the storage change from the prior year. Before I move on to the next slide, I'd just like to point out the pressure forebay boundary right here where my cursor is. It's generally right through the middle of the basin. So north of that, you know, we call it the forebay area where we do all the surface spreading, where the water can get down to the water table from ground surface because there's not too many clay layers in between. Whereas in the pressure area, the aquifers are under pressure, especially the shallow aquifer has a clay cap on top of it where it's confined. We call that a confined aquifer. The water table can't rise freely because it's confined at the top. And so in the pressure area is not an area where we can do surface spreading of water to percolate down to the aquifer. Unfortunately, that's why we have to do injection in the pressure area to get past those clay layers. And here's our seawater barrier over here on the left. Okay, so there's that pressure forebay line. Goes kind of through the middle of the basin. Sometimes we generally say along the 5 freeway, but it does meander back and forth across the 5 freeway, but generally through the middle of the basin. Okay, this map shows all the wells that we currently use for constructing water level contour maps each year. So once a year, right at the end of the water year, we have a 2-week window, the last week of June, first week of July, where we go out and measure the water levels. We try to get it in as narrow of an interval as possible, so it represents one snapshot in time. And so thanks to all the producers, they send us any static water levels they have from any production wells that are not running. Or even sometimes when the wells are running, they'll turn them off for a half hour to an hour, let the water level come back up and measure a static before they turn the well back on. So we're grateful for that data. Helps quite a bit. We have a whole network of monitoring wells that OCW staff go out and measure. We even get data from the LA County producers within about 3 miles of the county line. That's all these orange dots here, Long Beach, Cerritos, Lakewood. They're cooperative, even though it's not mandatory. They cooperate and send us their water levels for this June time period. And then finally, Water Replenishment District, they have their own network of monitoring wells where they send us their data, and we send them our data as well. It works both ways. And by doing that, we can develop contour maps that I'll show you on the next slide, where we contour 3 miles past the county line so we can get a handle on the direction of groundwater flow in the vicinity of the county line. So here's the shallow aquifer contour map that was constructed from plotting all the water level data and then contouring that by hand and considering all the any bad data points or weeding out any questionable data. Is quite a process. And so this shows here all the green contours are above sea level, as much as about 300 feet above sea level up in the northern boundary in Yorba Linda. And ground surface is higher up there too. So the water table generally follows the topography. As the topography gets lower, the water levels get lower as it's some distance below ground surface. And until you get to the zero sea level line down here near the coast. And we have a couple areas where the water levels are actually a couple feet below sea level, like in Sunset Gap, where we're planning a future barrier, seawater barrier over there. But in Talbot Gap, our Talbot Barrier injection wells, this green line and these green wells right here, those are providing protective elevations above sea level, 4, 5, 6 feet above sea level, seaward of the barrier. So we're in very good shape at the Talbot Barrier. No seawater intrusion occurring. The last several years, we're actually slowly pushing any brackish water back towards the ocean. And so these blue lines just show the direction of groundwater flow is generally from the forebay towards the coast to the southwest, and in the North Basin area, it's almost straight west towards LA County. Now, in the principal aquifer, you see a lot more purple lines than on the previous slide for the shallow. So, because of all the pumping in the principal aquifer, water levels in the coastal area are all below sea level. The zero line goes right through the middle of the basin. Everything above that is above sea level. All the purple is below sea level. And luckily, not shown on this map, but luckily we have the Newport Inglewood Fault, which runs approximately along the red boundary to the south here. And that protects at least the lower part of the principal aquifer from any seawater intrusion. So even though these water levels are tens of feet below sea level, we do not see any seawater intrusion in this lower part of the principal aquifer. And typically, the deepest part of the water levels is in the Dyer Road area, extending slightly into the Mesa Water area. 95 feet below sea level here as of June 30th, which is not unusual. That's pretty typical. And the other low spot is over in Long Beach due to all the Long Beach well field. We're down about 85,000 feet below, 85,000, 85 feet below sea level. And I'll show how this compares to last year on the next slide, but these are pretty typical. And the blue arrows show the direction of groundwater flow generally from the forebay once again, just like the shallow aquifer, but the water takes a turn in certain areas towards these production centers. So generally to the southwest, but then turn straight south towards Dyer Road Wellfield. And then in the North Basin area, similar to the shallow aquifer, it's almost straight west towards the county line. And the Talbot Barrier, we have some injection wells into this lower part of the principle that are for just groundwater replenishment. They're not for seawater intrusion. Those create a little bit of a mound right down here that you can hardly notice, but that sends water out that reaches eventually to these production wells in Huntington, Fountain Valley, and even to Mesa Water. Okay, so now this is the change in water levels from June 2025 to June 2026. This kind of yellowish, kind of tan area throughout most of the basin, that's more or less a negligible change, anything from 5 feet increase to 5 feet decrease. And this particular year, it wasn't even 5 feet. It was anywhere from 0 to ± 1 foot. Almost no change from the year before throughout much of the whole basin in the shallow aquifer. Really, the only area that changed significantly was Santiago Basin and Orange over here. Came up as much as 25 feet, and that's because we had 16 inches of rainfall this year versus the previous water year, we only had about 6 inches of rain. So we had double the amount of Santiago recharge compared to the year before. So the water levels came up 25 feet. The other green area that would represent an increase in water levels is right up here in Placentia, where my cursor is. That is an artificial increase. We put a new monitoring well in right over here, AM63, and the water level for June 2026, we used that on our contour map, but we didn't have a data point for June 2025. So when we did last year's contour map, we had to kind of wing it through that area and just estimate the contours. But it turns out the actual contours, now that we have a data point there, turned out higher than how we interpreted it the year before. So it's an artificial increase. Next year won't be an issue because going forward now we'll have data at that well every year. And this didn't change the storage calculation much. It's a minor amount. And same thing in the principal aquifer. We have this artificial increase. That new monitoring well we put in, we put a screen in the shallow and a screen in the principal so we can get a new data point for both. And same thing, that one was estimated too low in the years prior before we had a monitoring well there. Now that we have a data point there, water levels are actually higher than we thought, extending north from our spreading grounds. So that's very helpful going forward. The other area where we had the increase, just like in the shallow aquifer I just showed you, in the principal, we also had an increase at Santiago Basins and Orange over here. We about 10 to 30 foot increase from the year prior. And once again, we recharged about double the amount that we did the prior year due to the additional rainfall. But then, unlike the shallow aquifer, we did have some decreases here in the principal that are a little bit more than negligible. Not big decreases, but Dyer Road, Santa Ana, slightly into the Mesa area, about 10 feet lower than the year before, nothing drastic. Irvine, part of the Irvine area near some of the Irvine desalter wells and through the middle of Irvine, about 5 to 10 feet lower than the year before. The Fullerton Forebay area, about the same as last year, maybe 1 to 2 feet higher. So generally not a big increase or decrease throughout the principal, but a little more of a decrease, except for Santiago. And so this all, I'm not going to show you the deep aquifer. It contributes very little to the whole storage change. And in the interest of time, we typically only show you the water level maps for the shallow and the principal. But when so we take those water level maps, we put those in our GIS system, we turn those into a grid. So every 500 foot grid cell has a water level value. And then we take the previous year and we do a grid subtraction in the database. And we can get the water level change at every grid cell location throughout the basin. we take that water level change and then we multiply that by the porosity of the sediments. So that's the available pore space that the water resides in. And that's how we get a volume of water storage change from one year to the next. So for the shallow aquifer, it was an increase of about 22,000 acre feet. And that was just from that Santiago area. That was the only green area. And then the rest of the basin didn't change much, hardly at all in the shallow. So that 22,000 was just primarily from that Santiago area. So that's pretty impressive. And in the principle, because we had some negative change areas throughout most of the middle of the basin, only Santiago rose a little bit. The principle, we actually had a negative storage change of 1,000 acre feet. Deep aquifer was nearly zero when you round it off to the nearest thousand at zero. And so the addition of those three layers all combined, the net storage change is plus 21,000 acre foot storage increase for the year. And just so how that shakes out, so the overdraft as of June 30th of last year, 2025, was 183,000. We increased 21,000, so now we're at an overdraft of 162,000. Just to remind everyone, our target overdraft is from 150 to 200,000 overdraft over here on the right side. And so last year we were in the lower part of the target range. We're still in the target range, but nearing the upper boundary of the target range. So we're right in the sweet spot for 2 years in a row. It's really good news. And just a look at the overdraft over time. So here we are, June 2026, 162,000, nearing the upper part of the target overdraft range. Three out of the four last years, we've been within our target range, which is amazing. We haven't had a time in history where for three out of 4 years, we've been right in the sweet spot like that. And the 1 year we were not in the target range, we were actually slightly above it. So last 4 years, we've been doing great. And Mother Nature has been kind to us as well. Okay, I have two more slides, so bear with me. This is the groundwater balance. A lot of these terms I already talked about. The Santa Ana River basin storm flow recharge was 22,000 higher than what we had anticipated based on average rainfall. We had slightly above average rainfall. We captured 168,000 acre feet. Part of that is base flow, and a chunk of that is storm flow. The base flow, we don't have an exact number yet on the basin storm flow until the water master for the upper watershed is done, but we're guesstimating about 90,000 base flow, so it'd be over 70,000 of storm flow. Incidental recharge was a little bit less than we budgeted. I talked about that already. We think some of that incidental is now accounted for in the storm flow number, which is why the storm flow typically tends to be higher and the incidental lower ever since 2018. GWS is a little bit lower. We talked about that due to some maintenance issues and lower injection rates due to the high condition. Total basin pumping was pretty much right on par with what had been estimated at the beginning of the water year, 297,000. That's about a 2% decrease from the year before because demand also decreased by about 2% because just being a wetter year, less people watering their yards less for a portion of the year. And so once again, our storage change is a positive 21,000, leaving us at an overdraft of 162,000. Last slide, just looking forward to the water year that we're currently in, what the projected overdraft might be at the end of this water year in June 30th or July 1st of 2027. If we have average rainfall, which typically hardly ever have average rainfall, it's either wetter or drier, but if it is average, that would put us at an overdraft of, and with the pumping projections, at an overdraft of about 154,000, just a slight gain in basin storage. If we have a wet year, you know, and all the talk with El Nino is getting stronger as ocean water temperatures are warming up, even locally, ocean water temperatures are warming up from something called a marine heat wave. That's why we've been having all these tropical storms moving up into our area. So if we have a wet year, we could be getting close to the 100,000 overdraft mark, which would be incredible. But even if we had a dry year, which the odds are kind of against it, even though anything can happen, that would put us more down towards the 200,000 level, which would still be right near the bottom of our target level. We would still would be right there within our sweet spot. So pretty much any scenario is not a bad scenario in this case. And that's all I have. If you have any questions, I'm not Brendan Neal, I'm Tim Sovich, but Brendan put together the slides, and his 2-year-old boy is actually sick right now, so he's home with his son. So just like to mention that. Thank you.
Do we have any questions, comments? Okay. Oh, you did a great job.
Yeah. Madam Chair, I'd just like to mention one thing. So the groundwater basin is storage levels are really getting up there. If we're sitting here next January and February and it is a wet winter, staff could recommend increasing the basin production percentage next year.
Oh.
But we'll see what happens, and we can have that discussion next February or March.
Okay. Well, thank you for a great report. Okay, can we put all the items on the consent calendar? Do we have any director's announcements? General manager?
I have nothing.
Okay, we're adjourned.